Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's concluding report on the war story right after this. Yeah, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools. They're banned from our public institution. They're banned from our national consciousness. Well, now, instead of these ten simple time-tested laws, we see the ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place, and they teach these ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, our public institutions, and we've made them a part of our national psyche. Now, you know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years. Are you aware, for instance, your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but she could have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent? Now, that's why I contend that the solution to this kind of moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments. And they even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. Now, there's at least one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties, and the 33 benefits for their observance. You know, every law has a penalty, and you don't have to know what the penalty to the law is to suffer from its effects. So whether we call this the Mosaic Law, the law of God, the common law, or natural law, you know, it's automatic. It's automatic. It works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which happens to be the natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package first? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general, and it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. And then click onto our archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. That's georgegordon.org, and go to our archives page. All right, we've been talking about the war story. It's a long, involved story. The word war appears in the Bible 214 times. It's a pretty big, serious story, and it's covered in a very comprehensive way. After you code plead it out, you can get the whole story, and that's what we've been talking about here in these previous six conversations. Now, I would be remiss if we didn't come up with a solution to our problem. So one of the first things I tell a student when he walks into class, if we cannot solve your problem, we are all wasting our time here. This thing of just talking about the problems without a solution is a waste of everybody's time. So now we've been talking about the problem so that we can understand the scope of what we're dealing with. And we're dealing with 64 life-threatening problems that are outlined by the Creator in the Scripture. And we have to be able to solve all 64 of those life-threatening problems. If you can't solve all 64, you can only solve 63, you're going to get killed then by number 64. Son, if you're going to get killed by number 64 because you didn't know about it, then you didn't need to know about the other 63. You're just as dead, ain't you? Always reminds me of that little girl over in Netherlands, you remember? Her name is Anne Frank. she's a Jewish girl, and her family's Jewish, obviously, and so they go into hiding in 1939. They're hiding until September of 1944 when they get caught. Now, they've been hiding in here for 5 years. 5 years they've been hiding. They've been successful for 5 years at eluding the Nazis and saving their lives. Then in September of 44, they get caught. They're sent off to the concentration camp, and they're all killed. Well, hell, they failed in their mission. If survival was the mission, they failed. Oh, yeah, it's true. They failed after 5 years. Boys and girls, failure is failure, and death is death. So the objective here has to be to survive all 64 of the life-threatening problems that are outlined here in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. And you either survive all 64 of them, or you die from the lack of knowledge of 1, 2, or 5 of them, and then you end up dead. It was a tragedy for those people. 9 months before the war ends, they get caught. They've succeeded for 5 years and failed in 9 months. All right, now let's see if we can't be survivors here. I want to survive and see the second coming of the Messiah. And then if this is the last trump and this is the great tribulation coming down on us, well, then we don't have so long to wait. Let's see if we can't figure out a solution to our dilemma. Our dilemma is 90% of the world's population is going to die. 10% are going to survive. We want to be in that 10%. Just that simple. No big mystery here. Now, to do that, there are four chapters in the Bible that explain to you and tell you how to do that. So get your pen and paper out here. I'm going to show you how. And this isn't George Gordon's interpretation. I didn't write this. Not a word. But I did complete it out, and I'm going to tell you what the answer to the riddle is. First chapter you want to read is 1 Samuel chapter 8. Whole chapter. And that's going to tell you what our problem was when we gave God the finger. This is the first political change in our governmental structure we ever made. Right here. First political change. And our God told us right then, he said, "Hey, you jerks, you're making a mistake here. Wake up and smell the coffee. And this is going to lead you to grief." And the last thing he says here about chapter, I don't know, not chapter 8, of course, but about verse 19, let me flip over here and see if I can find it for you. He says, "Don't call me, I'll call you." He says, he gives us a little piece of advice here. And I was telling my students this, you know. You do not need to pray to Jesus here. Jesus ain't going to save you. Enough, you religious guys out there say Jesus is going to save me. I'll tell you what. You just get out there and you get after him and see if he can save you out of this. And I'll meet you in the judgment and then you tell me how that worked out for you. In verse 19 he says, "Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, 'No, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles.' And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in their ears of the Lord. And the Eternal said to Samuel, 'Hearken unto their voice, and make them a king.' And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, 'Go you every man into his city.'" So, the people, when they were told, "Go back and rethink this," they said, "Nevertheless, we refuse to obey the voice of our God and Samuel here. No, we're going to have our king. We're going to have our Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi." Okay. Now listen to what he said to you in verse 18. He said, "Then you shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you shall have chosen you. And the Eternal will not hear you in that day." Well, here's the day. Now, we chose our king. We voted him in. And we said, "Nevertheless, we will have a king to rule over us." Okay. Now, we gave our God the finger and told him to kiss off, and we ain't listening to you. We got Nancy, Harry, and Barack. And now, our God is telling us, now listen up here. He says, "You're going to cry out to me in that day when all of this crap hits the fan and our economy collapses and we go into national captivity. You people are going to cry and weep and wail and pray to Jesus. Now, he's already told you ahead of time, he says, I will not hear you. So we got to have a little better solution to this problem than that. In Revelation 2 and 3, let's go to Revelation chapter 2 and 3, there are seven churches there. And these seven churches are representative of the seven statuses or states that you'll find your life in. It happens that these churches were historical representations of the state of a group of people called the elect and chosen ones that goes through history. But leaving that aside, just picture yourself. Here's God speaking to this church of Ephesus and speaking to the church of Smyrna and speaking to the church of Laodicea. He's got seven of them there. And in each case, he says, you know, I've got a bitch with you. I like you. You're a nice guy. You're doing good things here, but I got a little bitch with you. And then he says, now here's what I'm going to do to you because of that. And then many of these people get martyred, and many of these people, they get punished one way or another. But there's one group here called the Philadelphians. Now, this is the gang you want to get in with. If there's any way that you can become one of these Philadelphians, get after it, because these are the guys that survived this whole thing without a scratch. All right, so there's 1 Samuel 8. I'm not going to listen to you to you people. Then Revelation 2 and 3, you're looking for church number 6 here. This is the Philadelphia group. And then the answer to our riddle in plain language, I mean, just spells it out in spades here, is in Ezekiel chapter 18. So let's take off here with Ezekiel 18. And let me show you what it is we need to do so that we can circumvent God's plan here. We're gonna beat God at his own game. How's that for a plan? Now, the way we beat God at his own game is to go to God and say, what do I need to do here in order to survive this? And here's the answer. Here's God himself. He says, now, let me tell you what it is you're going to have to do if you want to win this game. If you want to beat all 64 of these life-threatening problems, here's the answer. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 1. Listen up. He says, the word of the Eternal came unto me again, saying, what mean you that you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, says the Eternal, the Lord God, you shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now, I've told you here earlier in the programs, and the soul that sins, it shall die. All souls belong to God. You are a living, breathing soul, and you don't have a soul that's going to heaven and has eternal life. Your soul is just like the soul of an animal, and it's going to die. Dust thou art, and unto dust shall you return. Verse 5 now, he talks about a just man shall he live. If you're a just man, are you going to live? Listen to this. He says, but if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and has not eaten upon the mountains, neither has lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, and neither has defiled his neighbor's wife, and neither has come near to a menstruous woman, has not oppressed any, but has restored to the debtor his pledges, spoiled none by violence, has given his bread to the hungry, and has covered the naked with a garment. He that hath not given forth upon usury, neither has taken any increase, that has withdrawn his hand from iniquity, has executed true judgment between man and man, has walked in my statutes, and has kept my judgments to deal truly, he is just, he shall surely live, says the Eternal. All right, so here's God tells you, now look, you follow my laws, my statutes, my judgments. Sit down, shut up, and do what I tell you, and you will surely live. Now, of course, you know, the preacher's standing up over here. He says, oh, no, that's wrong. You live by faith. Faith. Faith and love. Okay. Well, you preachers go live by faith and love. That's a part of the program. I don't deny it. And I'm going to add to that faith and love works. And I'm going to sit down, shut up, and do what I'm told. And follow these statutes, judgments, and commandments. And when we come up in the judgment, I'm going to watch you as you explain to God why it is that you did what you did. And then I'll explain what I did. And let's see who comes out better. Or let's try it this way. Let's see who comes out better when the economy collapses and the Chinese and the Russians come over here and start eating our lunch. Maybe you'll beat me. Now there's another little section over here. Starts in verse 10. Listen to this. He says, if he begets a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that does the like to any of these things, and that does not any of those duties, but even has eaten upon the mountains, defiled his neighbor's wife, has oppressed the poor and needy, has spoiled by violence, has not restored the pledge, has lifted up his eyes to the idols, has committed abomination, has given forth upon usury, and has taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He has done all these abominations, and he shall surely die, and his blood shall be upon him. Notice the one on usury, for instance, as an example here. Usury is prohibited. So what does your preacher do? He comes to you with the building fund pledge. And he says, here, Tony, sign this and pledge $10 a month or a week or something like that to the building fund so that we can pay the bank on the mortgage on the church. Which is all right with Tony because he's got a mortgage on his house and he's making payments on his car and on his credit cards and he pays interest and usury and he don't care. And a question arises, well, shall he then live? And with emphasis, the scripture says, he has done all of these abominations and he shall not surely live, but he shall surely die, and his blood shall be upon him. Proximate cause of your own injury, Tony. All right, now here's the third group over here. He says now in verse 14, he says, now lo, if he begets a son that seeth all of his father's sins, which his father has done, and he considers, and he doeth not such like, that has not eaten upon the mountains, and neither has lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, and has not defiled his neighbor's wife, and neither has oppressed any, has not withholden the pledge, neither has spoiled by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry, and has covered the naked with a garment, that has taken off his hand from the poor, that has not received usury nor increase, has executed my judgments, has walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father, he shall surely live. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. Now, that ought to tell you a little something about this thing of inherited sin. This is one of the Christian doctrines now. You know, they tell you, hey, listen, you know, we inherited all this sin from Adam and Eve. They broke the law, and by God, now we got to pay the piper. That's poppycock. Poppycock. Chapter 18 here tells you plainly. Every man dies for his own sins. I'm not here being condemned for the sins of Adam. Or my father's sin. Now, my father was a real rounder. Nice guy. Oh, God. Talk about a nice guy. Everybody liked my dad. I mean, he drank, he smoked, he chased wild women. He went down to Flo's whorehouse. I mean, my dad, he just did it all. He violated every one of these principles over here. And my dad died in his sin. And then he went into his hole in the ground. And he'll come up in the great white throne judgment. Nice guy that he is. But I considered that, and I said, you know, my dad died at age 53. And if I want to live to be 70 years old, the requirement is that I practice all of these statutes, judgments, and commandments. I need to consider my dad, and I need to turn from his wickedness. And I want to see if I can't survive this. So that's what I did. I followed this little piece of advice here. It starts in verse 14. This is Ezekiel 18, 14 through 18. And I said, you know, I think maybe I better straighten up here and fly right. Now, so far, it's paid off in spades. I've been doing this now for 25 years, and I got to tell you, I made a lot of money. I'm happy as a clam at high tide, and all my bills are paid, and I'm doing very well, and I'm just happy as I can be. Now, prior to that, I used to have credit cards, and I had corporations, and dealt in unjust weights and balances, and I was chasing down around Flo's and all of her girls, and smoked and drank, and did all those things, and I just had one problem after another. So it didn't work well for me. I tried sin. God, it's fun. I love it. You know, if there's anything better than sin out there to get involved in, I don't know what the hell it would be. I have to tell you that a whore down at the whorehouse is one of the grandest experiences you can ever have. Smoking cigarettes and Roy Tan cigars and drinking Jack Daniel's sipping whiskey. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. But, and I got to also point out, it's going to kill you in the long run. All that fun and pleasure and all that excitement, it's going to kill you. And it's going to lead you to a whole lot of grief that you just kind of wish that you didn't have to live through. But, you know, most people cannot learn from other people's mistakes. They got to get out there and get into it up to their elbows and experience it. Well, okay. If that's what you got to do, get after it there, Charlie. But I tested that. And from my experience, I tell my students very plainly now, I tested that, and it did not work for me. And I doubt seriously that it's going to work any better for you. So I tested the wild women and the song and sipping whiskey. All right, now in verse 19, he goes on a step further. Now he says, yet say you why? Does not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? Well, when the Son has done that which is lawful and right, and has kept all of my statutes, and has done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, and neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the righteousness of the wickedness, rather, of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all of his sins that he has committed, and keep all of my statutes. Now notice the word all. I underlined it here in my Bible. If he will do all of my statutes. Now, remember I mentioned this to you in the last couple programs. Well, how much of this can you practice? Well, get your pen and paper out here and let me explain it. Write this down. There are 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. Total, 759. Now, that's more than the 613, so don't send me an email and explain to me how the Jews came up with 613. I'm familiar with that number. And the Jews are good people, and they found 613 laws. I went through the same book, and I found 759. And all that means that there's about another 150 that they missed. Now, that does not mean that I'm 100% right and there's 759, because there might be 760 or 782 and I missed some. But I know there's 759 because I've got them all scoped out and I put them into a book. We call it the Mosaic Law. And I've got them all in alphabetical order. I start off with Aaronic Priest number one and end up over here with wages or wicked or work, or I guess work is the last one. So I know there's 759, so I'm just going to tell you there's 759. Now, these 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments are mentioned more than once. Many of them are. They're mentioned 2, 3, 5 times. So when you sort through those, you'll find 133. 133 subject matters of law, titles they call them in the U.S. Code. So you've got 133 titles of law or subject matters. And one of those subject matters is Passover, for instance. Another one over here is the Sabbath. And another one over here is theft. And another one over here is sin, and so on. And all of these subject matters of law over here are what you have to practice. 133. Now, I showed you in the last program, we're in violation of 82 of them commonly here in the United States. And we practice, what's the difference here between 133 and 82 is, we practice about 51 and we violate 82. That's our dilemma. That's what we're doing here. So we're practicing, I think it was 61%, and we're violating 39, or we're practicing 39%, and we're violating 61%. Now, we're getting a bad result in this world economic crisis and collapse, and the debt that we face here in the country, and the rape, rob, and pillaging that's going on, and the loss of your home, and your diseases, and your obesity, and the rest of it. Those are the penalties that we're paying now for the violation of these laws. We are violating so many of these laws over here, they're coming back to bite us in the butt. And then there's a worse problem. We got a war coming down on our necks. We got a God over here that says, I'm gonna hang it on you guys over here for breaching my contract. Now notice here, he says all of my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, and he shall surely live and he shall not die. So I want to emphasize that you got to practice all 133 of these. And for practical purposes, though, you probably aren't going to do that. Now, if you know something is right and you don't do it, then it's counted as sin. If you're doing something and you think it's right, but in reality it's wrong, you can get by with that. You can get by with that. It's when you know something and then you don't do it. It's like I told you about old Dennis. He said, I was better off before I ever heard of you. Well, he's got a point there. I don't doubt that, Dennis. You're responsible now for your actions. When you know that eating pig is against the law and you go out here and have a bacon, lettuce, and tomato, you're going to have to answer to the boss. He's going to say, hey, how come you went in there and had this BLT when you knew full well that bacon was against the law? Huh? What's that all about? So I just wanted to point out again here in verse 21, you got to keep all of my statutes. Now, all of his transgressions that he has committed, they shall not be mentioned to him. And in his righteousness that he has done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure? God asks a rhetorical question. He says, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? And not that he should return from his ways and live? Now, you may commit some transgressions, and you're innocent and ignorant, and you don't know what you're doing. You can get away with that. It's when you know better. And here in America, I'm going to tell all you people out there, about this sodomy thing over here. Now, you people know better than that. The Apostle Paul over here in Romans chapter 1, the last few verses of it, he points something out here, and I just want to flip over here and rub your nose in this one a little bit. Over here in Romans chapter 1, he says, for the wrath of God, starting in verse 18, he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness back, or hold back the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. Because the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, going to college and passing these degrees around. Oh, Dr. So-and-so. Oh, here's Dr. Who's Dr. So-and-so. All right, well, go ahead. Profess yourselves to be wise. Your God says you've become fools, not being able to see what's right in front of your face. And he goes on, he says, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creation more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Now for this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Those are called lesbians. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. The Sodomites die on average at age 45, unless they die from AIDS, in which case they die at age 39. Now remember, we've already talked about you're entitled to 70 years. These guys are receiving what is meet for them. They die young from disease. Verse 28, he says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Can you think of anything more evil than the invention of the atomic bomb? Disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, the reason I wanted to select that little ditty there is because that's New Testament. Hey, all you Christians out there, you can read that. That comes from the New Testament, remember? That comes from Jesus. That comes from Pauline theology. Now, one of the things that people come up with here is, when the righteous turns away from his righteousness, and he commits iniquity, and he doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? Do we believe that we can go out here and follow after all of these wicked, evil people and live as a result of it? Do you people out there believe that you can practice abortion, sodomy, witchcraft, Sabbath breaking, and theft by Federal Reserve notes, and you think that you're going to get away with that? Honest to God, have we taken leave of our senses? Hey, it's halfway time here. Let me remind you that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries worldwide daily over the Internet and radio. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, it's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and we are open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Click onto the archives page and you can download that free general law CD package right there. Now, the sources of information that we use in this program are true, accurate, and correct, to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we're using here on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements of these books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that those authors and publications that we're endorsing or recommending are necessarily going to endorse and recommend the Law Hour and Editorial Review. They might not like us at all. Now, keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we're citing here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review, they can be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by us here at the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you're listening to on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views or the beliefs or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org, just click onto the email, or click onto the archives page, and you can download our free general law CD package, or you can call us here directly at 417-273-4967. All right, we're taking a look here at how do you beat God at his own game. Well, if you see what happened here in Romans chapter 1, you can see there that God isn't too happy with people that practice sodomy and witchcraft and all kinds of evil and abominations, fornication, and so on. And he says they're worthy of death. And that's what we've been talking about here. We got a war coming down on our necks here. And it's called war. And then I showed you that. And God, in Leviticus 26, remember yesterday, he said, in verse 25, he said, you know, I'm going to avenge the quarrel of my covenant with you people. I'm ticked off, and I'm going to get my pound of flesh out of you guys for doing this to me. You know, doing what? Giving me the finger in 1 Samuel 8 was the beginning of it. And he says, now, here's what I'm going to do with you. When you cry out to me because of this king that you've set over you. Now, remember, in olden times, we weren't setting these kings over us. This is called the divine right of kings. Kings, you know, don't come by elections. He's talking about an election here, kids. We're the people, you know, in Australia, New Zealand, you know. We're the guys that set the Rudd government up here. We're the guys that set the Obama administration in here. These are our kings that we set over us. Nobody set Queen Elizabeth over anybody. She was born to the job. We're the guys that are setting our kings over us. And he said, now, when you set this king over you and you cry out to me because of this king oppressing you, he said, I'm not going to listen to it. Now, you know, we've got reason, logic, and common sense. And there isn't anybody out there. I don't care what your majority is in the opinion poll concerning sodomy and so on. You all know that's wrong. Wrong. Period. And I just wanted to emphasize that this God here, he doesn't like that either. And he said it was wrong. This is the guy that said sodomy's wrong. Not me. Not Barack Obama. Not the Congress of the United States. And not the sodomites and the so on. Those guys don't count. The guy that created the universe, the guy that created planet Earth and put all of us on here, he says, I own all you guys. You belong to me. your chattel property. Sit down and shut up. And then we got a little uppity with our creator and said, well, we ain't sitting down and we ain't shutting up. He said, okay, guys. Okay. Have it your way. You know, just like Burger King, you know. Hey, have it your way. But in the final analysis over here, you know, here's the way this deal's coming down. We got these protocols of war, you know, rules of engagement. And that's what we've been talking about, these rules of engagement. So I'm not trying to get any of you people to quit doing what you're doing. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pope. I'm not a priest. I'm not the pastor. I'm a plumber. General contractor. But I'm not deaf, dumb, and blind, and I'm not senile yet. And I can read pretty plainly over here. I didn't write this. I'm just here as a reporter saying, hey, any of you guys ever read this before? You guys ever looked at Ezekiel 18? Now, here's your creator says, you want to beat me at my game. You want to stay out of this war over here. You want to avoid me avenging the quarrel of my covenant on your ass. Then you sit down, shut up, and pay attention. You practice my law, and then I'll let you off the hook. As we're coming to here, listen to this. In verse 24, he says, but when the righteous turns away from his righteousness, and he commits iniquity, and he does according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? Well, all of his righteousness that he has done in the past shall not be mentioned. And in his trespass that he has trespassed, and in his sin that he has sinned, in them he shall die. So, you know, if you've been a pretty righteous guy and you're running around out here, you know, going to church, you know, twice a week, putting all your money in the offering plate and doing all these good things, you know, you screw this thing up over here now, you don't practice my Sabbath and my holy days and my Passover and days of unleavened bread and so on, you know, I'm going to get to you. So for you people now that aren't practicing the Sabbath and the holy days and the Passover and so on, may I suggest that you take a look at some of these laws, like Exodus chapter 12 will explain the Passover to you, and then Leviticus chapter 23 will explain the rest of the holy days to you. And then, you know, as time progresses along, you say to yourself, hey, listen, maybe I better rethink this Christmas, Easter, New Year's thing, and maybe I better start thinking more about Passovers and Feasts of Tabernacles and so on, Sabbath days, if I want to beat God at his game, because this guy's got the only game in town, you know. And if you think you're going to beat this guy, it's like a guy sitting in a casino, they're playing the slot machines. He's putting all these quarters into that machine, and he thinks he's going to beat that machine. See? This guy, he go out here and buy a lottery ticket, he thinks he's going to win the lottery. All right. Well, good luck to you, partner. Get after it. Just keep putting your quarters in there and see how this comes out. Those slot machines are pre-programmed. That lottery is pre-programmed. And, yeah, there's going to be a couple winners, but it ain't going to be you. And that's what the bottom line is. Now, in verse 25, he goes on to say, and yet you say the way of the eternal is not equal. Well, hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal, and are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, and he commits iniquity, and dies in his iniquity, for his iniquity that he has done shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turns away from his wickedness that he has committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive, because he considereth, and he turns away from all of his transgressions that he has committed. He shall surely live, and he shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the eternal is not equal. The house of Israel, he says, now this is God, O house of Israel, are not my ways equal, and are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Now repent and turn yourselves from all of your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all of your transgressions whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Eternal. Wherefore turn yourselves and live. So here again, I told you this the other day. You know, God says, I don't take any real pleasure in the death of all of these wicked people. He's not sitting here, you know, all you sodomites out there. He's not saying, oh, boy, I can't just wait. I just can't wait to give you yours. On the other hand, you know, he says, hey, listen, boys, let's wake up and smell the coffee here, you know. We got some laws, rules, and regulations, and one of them is, thou shalt not practice adultery. Sodomy is just a form of adultery. Hell, we all know that. But we're out here having fun. It's like going down to the whorehouse, you know. Now, boys, the next time you're sitting in the cab of your truck and some lot lizard comes over and looks up and says, hey, would you like a little fun in your camper? You know, you ought to look down at her and say, no, I don't think I want any fun up here. You know, I got enough problems without inviting you in here. Lot lizards. Flo's whores. I mean, come on, guys. We all know right and wrong. You don't really need a preacher to explain that to you. Not that you're ever going to go to church and have any preacher ever explain right and wrong and explain the law of God to you. That isn't going to happen. Hell will freeze over before that ever happens. But just your common sense, you know, just from your own experience. You know, if you're a little older than 19, I mean, hell, when you're 19, you know, you can't wait to get to Flo's. But when you get to be 35 or 40, you know, you ought to be able to consider what you've already done in the past. And that's what repentance is all about. Repentance is about, well, let's take a look at the way we've been doing this. Does this make any sense? Should I continue on with this? Now, Roger Rosenblatt, remember the other day we were talking about Roger, and he's talking about his daughter died, and he was sad about that, and hell, I'd be sad if my daughter died. She died at age 38, and he's sad about that. His daughter killed herself. She was the proximate cause of her own injury. She had a contract just like all the rest of us. She could have lived to be 70, but she, for whatever reason, you know, she said, no, I'm not going to do that. And Roger Rosenblatt said, well, God's ways are unequal. This isn't fair that my daughter died. Well, what was unfair about it? God asked that rhetorical question. He says, are not my ways equal? I told you people how to live. I told you not to eat fat and blood. I told you not to eat pig. And so we went to go out here and show God that we knew more about diet and health and so on. Okay. I think people are expecting God to come over, slap them up alongside the face, and take their BLT away from them. Now, he's told you. He doesn't need to take your BLT away from you. And he's not gonna take the lot lizard away from you, boys. If you want to get in the cab with her, you know, have at it. God isn't going to stop you. But when you come down with venereal disease and you've got, you know, you got gonorrhea and your nose is rotten off of your face or something like that, you know, don't get angry with God and say, well, now you're unequal and unfair. That's stupid. Come on, guys, let's wake up and smell the coffee. You know, you're lighting up over here. One of these days you come down with cancer or something like that. Hell, you all know that cigarettes cause cancer. In fact, you even kid each other by saying, well, I think I'll light up another coffin nail. That's what we used to call them when I was a kid. Hey, you got hand me one of them coffin nails. All right, so we all knew better. And then we like to kid each other over here. This is God's fault, you know. All right, let me close this out. Let's flip over here to Revelation chapter 2 and 3. I won't have time to cover it all, but I can cover some of it for you. Now remember, 1 Samuel 8, Revelation 2 and 3, and then all of Ezekiel 18. Four chapters here. You want to beat God at this war game? Come on. He's laying it out for you, and he says, well, here's the way to do that. You do this, and here's what I'm gonna do for you. Now listen to this. This is starting off here in chapter 2 of Revelation, he says, now under the church of the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, says he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, and who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He says, I know your works. Notice how he doesn't come out and say, oh, I know about all of your love and all of your faith, little boys and girls. He says, I know your works, and I know your labor, and I know your patience. Now, what's this word patience mean? And I know your commandment keeping, and how you cannot bear them which are evil, and how you have tried them which say that they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have borne, and you have patience, and for my name's sake you have labored, and you have not fainted. Notice this, he's telling these guys, boy, you guys are good. You go to church every week and on Wednesdays. I mean, you're just really great guys over here, and I love you. You just, things are going great. Now, number four, chapter four, or verse four, he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence you are fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly, and I will remove your candlestick out of his place, except you repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Nicolaitans. You ever heard of St. Nicholas? The Nicolaitans, which thing I hate? All right, boys and girls. Now he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. All right, so the first church over here, and then it goes on to the second one, Smyrna, and the third one, Pergamos, and the fourth one over here is the, what is it? Can't remember now. This is, Philadelphia, and then finally Laodicea. So he's got these, and there's one here called Pergamos and Thyatira, and then comes Philadelphia, and then Laodicea. So he's got these seven churches here. See? Now, he starts off by telling them how good they are, and how he's proud of them, and how they're doing all the right things over here. And then he comes up, and he says, but I've got somewhat against you. You're falling a little short here. You know, you're pretty good over here. You're pushing up toward 90%, but you've slipped back here to about 75 or 80. And he tells them, I'm going to put you through tribulation. I'm going to put you through war. I'm going to kill you here. I'm going to have you burned at the stake. And if you don't deny me, and if you're able to take this kind of punishment, and if if you can stick with the program here, I'll give you your crown of life. But you're going to have to suffer tribulation and persecution for it. Now, for most people, that's the only way they can learn. You have to learn from experience. You got to learn from the school of hard knocks. My old dad told me, he explained it, he said, now, son, the school of hard knocks experience is the best teacher, but it is a God-awful hard way to learn. If it's at all possible, come and ask me first and let me tell you the answer. And it'll be a lot easier for you. Okay, now, I want to get up here to the sixth church. This is the gang that you want to join. This is the Philadelphia church here. And he says, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write these things, saith he that is holy and he that's true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door, and no man can shut it, because you have a little strength, and you've kept the word of my word, and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not Jews, but they lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you, because you have kept the word of my patience, which, remember, patience is the commandments of God. Because you have kept my commandments, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, temptation. I will keep you from the war, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which you have, that no man takes your crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I'll write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's the gang you want to get in with. They're the guys that are going to be spared from the war. They're the guys that are going to come up in the first resurrection. They're the guys that are going to suffer the least and gain the most. Now, this last church over here is called Laodicea. Now, listen to them. This is about the way things are in the world today. It says, and under the church, or under the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you were neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and you're neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And you know not that you are wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked. Now I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, then you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, so that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door, and I knock. Now, if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him, and I'll sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. So you want your reward? Remember, your reward now is rulership over the nations, eternal life, and an inheritance in the earth. There's another example. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Rulership over the earth. That's what we're after. Now, these guys, they've got it all. I'm rich. I don't need anything. Hey, listen, I'm going to be raptured away. I'm saved. I was saved 30 years ago. And I've got faith and love, and I don't need anything. Well, okay, guys, get after it. But it looks like to me that there's a warning for us there. So out of these seven churches now, pick one of those seven churches. And I think Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, that's the gang, the Philadelphians, is the better program. Take a look here at 1 Samuel chapter 8 and find out what we did wrong in the beginning. And why God said, now you can cry out to me, but I won't hear you. And then follow that up with Ezekiel chapter 18. And he's telling you very plainly, I don't take any pleasure now in the death of the wicked. If you do what I tell you, if you follow my commandments, if you do that which is right and just, now you will surely live. Now in this upcoming war, there are going to be people that live and people that die. People that succeed and people that fail. That's the way wars are. There are always survivors. Our objective is to be one of those survivors. All right, I'm out of time again. It's time to remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily. Over the internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.